Testing. Damn, my voice is already messed up. Okay. All right, this is a email response to Daniel Booth, who sent me some emails a while back and hasn't sent anything in a while. I really don't have the time to handle personal emails. I do everything kind of in the public setting, so that's why I'm responding verbally here, because more people will get to listen to it, and I'll make better use of my time. So Daniel says, "Hey, Brian, haven't talked to you in a while. Still making people not believe in God by sharing the truth," in quotes. Daniel, I don't make people not believe in God. I don't force anybody to do anything. I merely show them why there aren't good reasons to believe in God and let them make up their minds for themselves and hopefully give them reason to doubt what it is they've been taught for their entire life. And I'll make my points quick here because there's a lot of sentences in here. So I won't be extremely thorough, and if you have questions or you want to learn more, why don't you come to rationalresponders.com message boards and hang out with the very large community there. So he goes on to say, "Anyway, why exactly do you believe there is no God? I mean, could there be?" Yes, there could be, is my answer. And I don't believe there is no God. I guess if I said to you, there is no tooth fairy, and I said there is no God, I believe both of those statements to be similar. I'm saying there is no, if you hear me say the words there is no God, it's just because the likelihood of there being a God is so minuscule that there's really no reason to give it any credence. There's really no reason to, you know, say, oh, well, there could be a God. But I say that, and I guess there is a reason. The only reason is because theists will use that against me. So I try to remain very accurate. The fact of the matter is there could be a God. There could also be a tooth fairy. There could also be flying invisible gnomes inside your head right now instead of your brain. But we don't go around going, well, why do you believe there aren't flying invisible gnomes inside my head? The likelihood is so extremely small that we don't even entertain the possibility. Now you say, what is the point to life without God? I don't know. How about this? How about you tell me one thing that you can do as a believer that I can't do as a non-believer? Name one thing other than praying, which actually I could pray too. I pray to Jake all the time. Jake's the founder of AtheistNetwork.com, and he, by the way, delivers prayer results better, 51% better than to any God I've ever prayed. In fact, I've prayed to Jake 6 times in last week, and all 6 prayers have come. In fact, I've had experiences this week, okay? So what can you do as a believer that I can't do as a non-believer? You tell me. You write me back and tell me one thing that you can do, okay? Otherwise, the point to life is the exact same thing. Whatever you think the point of life is, all right, take out God and everything else that you do, that's similar to my point of life, okay? You say, just look at your mission in life as to what? My mission in life is to make the world a better place. Whatever I can do to make the world a better place, that's what I'm going to do. You say, what is your mission? Tell people there is no God, no hope, no meaning to live. Let me take a sip of water here. I'm dealing with a sore throat, big recording weekend, so, and I'm still not getting enough sleep, but tell people there is no God, no hope, and no meaning to live. You know, I'm insulted by this, that, you know, I don't know if you think I'm stupid or if you just, you know, I don't know what your deal is here. I get this all the time from theists who, I guess maybe you just can't grasp it. You're probably projecting right now. You are so brainwashed and so indoctrinated into thinking that you have to have God in order to be happy in life and in order to get hope, that you would tell me that I can't have hope or meaning to live without God. You're projecting your own flaws onto me as if I share them, and I do not. I have plenty of hope. I have plenty of meaning to live. I bust my butt trying to make the world a better place. That's my meaning, okay? Thomas Paine once said, the world is my country, to do good is my religion, all right? And I feel similarly. you, from your vantage point, don't see what I do as a benefit to society. From my vantage point and from the vantage point of a great many scholars out there in the world, what I'm doing is beneficial to society. So, yeah. Next point. Why would you try to take that away, take that hope and meaning to live away? Actually, you're projecting again. What I'm trying to do is give people hope and meaning to live, okay? You have one life, and you're wasting it right now. And you should utilize it to hope for a better tomorrow by yourself by controlling your own destiny. You shouldn't be able to fall back on the notion that if you die tonight, you'll be able to prance about with your immortal soul in heaven. You should embrace today and work for a better tomorrow. And I think that if you grasp this concept and you don't have a God to fall back on, that you'll live a better life here and now, and things would work out better for you. I think that a lot of times God can take away hope from people because they have a harder time accepting reality. For example, let's say you had somebody in your family who got cancer, and you realize that God, your belief, okay, that God gave this family member cancer. How would that make you feel? You've loved God, you've done everything right, you are addressing people like me who are confronting the notion of God, so you were probably pleasing God, and yet somebody in your family got cancer. Why? Why did he pick you? She pick you? A lot of people I know that turned away from religion actually turned away for the wrong reasons. They turned away for reasons like this. They lost hope in God. Okay? Now, if they had had a view of reality at that point, and later a lot of these people embrace reality, and it's easier for them to handle the situation. The fact of the matter is, disease exists. Science is working on fixing those diseases. If we embrace scientific advancement, which, of course, religion often hinders, we can work together for a brighter tomorrow, a world where we can cure cancer, where we don't rely on prayer, which has been scientifically proven completely ineffective, to fix these diseases. With, reality, we can find hope by utilizing our time and energy on scientific advancement and progress. Probably you have a bad stigma of the word science. Science is things we can prove. We can actually show that a certain test brings back the same results over and over and over again. And I think that these sorts of things, things that we can actually prove are better than things that we can't. So, let me move on to the next point or else we'll be here for hours. You say, how exactly did we arrive here? Well, that is like the biggest question in the world, man. Let me take another drink for that one. You're not going to get me to answer that right now. I have hours and hours and hours of podcasted material. If you're actually interested in these answers, you should have searched around my website a little bit. All of these answers are already on my website. All of them. You also don't have to dialogue directly with me. You can dialogue with the people in my community. I don't have the time to give out the history of the universe to everybody who writes me. You can do a mere Google search, okay? Do a Google search and look it up. I'm not sure how genuine you are with even asking this question, but obviously science can show that humans have evolved over a long period of time from a much smaller life form. The most minuscule life forms on this planet were microscopic. You couldn't even see them when life began on this planet. And gradually over time, things became more complex and more complex. In fact, we've even had 6 mass extinctions on our planet since that point. And a mass extinction, I believe the statistic is, if 50% or more of the species on Earth disappear. And in fact, we are in either the 6th or the 7th mass extinction right now on this planet. We are destroying our planet as we speak. So, And, you know, it's like, oh, well, why isn't God saving that life? You know, why did God let all the, why did God bring all the dinosaurs into existence just to kill them? You know, I mean, think of these questions. These are just such simple little questions just to ask yourself. So, and then, of course, how did the planets get here? I mean, you should study cosmology. You know, life evolved through a process known as evolution. It started through a process known as abiogenesis. You can look up these terms. TalkOrigins.org is a good website to go to. Our own website. We have, I believe, show 9 is a free show in our podcast. We actually debunked fishdontwalk.com, and if you go to fishdontwalk.com, they are now out of business. They went out of business and abandoned their website project 2 months after we hosted them on our show, and never to be heard from again. So we don't know what happened there. We actually are taking credit for bringing them to the realization that they didn't know what the heck they were talking about. But the point is, there's a lot of material out there. Abiogenesis is the search term you want to look up for the origin of life and how life started. You can look up the Miller-Urey experiments to see actual amino acids being produced in a lab. And the Big Bang is what you want to Google for the start of our universe and how our universe began. And, you know, I can't believe that you're actually asking this question with a genuine nature. I have a feeling that you're asking this question, I don't even know your intentions, because, I mean, how do you not go this long with being able to write me an email and not have heard these terms before? Anyway, you say, did we materialize from nothing? No. No, we did not. There was something always existed. If you look at the law of conservation of matter and energy, you will find that one of the most scientifically tested laws of nature is one that shows us that matter does not go away. It cannot be destroyed. It merely changes form over time. So if you were to have, I don't know, let's say a piece of wood and you put it inside of a box and you lit it on fire and you saw it become ashes, there would be the same amount of matter in that box as before. It would just change shape. It would just change its properties. To you, it would look maybe on the surface like there's less matter in there. However, there's the exact same amount of matter in there. Okay? So, with this scientific principle, this very proven law, we can extrapolate that matter has always been here. Before our universe was created at the Big Bang, there was just as much matter in the universe as there is today. Now, we deal in probabilities when we deal in science, and so I might say something and it might sound like I'm making a 100% affirmative statement. However, in science, we look at these things in the likelihood. And in the case of matter existing forever, the likelihood is abundantly higher than the alternative, which is that somebody created it. And by the way, if somebody or something created it, what created that thing, and did that thing just always exist? If that thing just always existed, then what's so hard to imagine that the universe just always existed? Next point. What exactly has happened in your life that would cause you to believe that God doesn't exist? Well, what happened was that I actually had conversations about what I believe and realized that I couldn't defend what I believed. I've made many progressions in how much I believed in a God. At some points I was very Christian. Other points I you know, was more Buddhist and still had some sort of God concept in my head. I was also a deist type for a while. Each time realizing the more I talked about it with people, the more I conversed about it, the more I realized that not only could I not defend it, but others couldn't defend it. And So, yeah, it was a traumatic experience. You know, I'm being sarcastic here. You know, it was a traumatic experience dealing with reality. Reality is a bitch. It's hard to deal with, but suck it up, man. Suck it up. So you go on to say, what do I know? I'm only 18. There we go. What do you know? You're right. You know, you don't have no clue about evolution, no clue about abiogenesis, no clue about the Big Bang. I'm assuming public school, and I'm assuming the South. And it has failed you, buddy. It has failed you. What do I know? I'm only 18, but I do believe that there is an all-powerful God named Jesus. Whoa! What a big, huge, logical jump. From, like, this discussion about how the universe was created to this discussion about the universe was created by an all-knowing God who came down to Earth to sacrifice himself to himself so that others could escape the wrath of the all-loving himself. I might as well just tell you that I have an invisible pixie in my pocket that created the universe. He's actually going to bash you over the head tonight if you don't believe in him. And there is a lake of pixie fire waiting for you, even though he loves you. And he knows what you're going to choose, which is why he's on his way over to your house right now to bash your head in. And just believe in him. Your logic is horrible. You say, read the Bible, and you'll find that the words spoken jam-packed with wisdom and guidance. Okay, I have a challenge for you. You read the Bible. It's your Bible, okay? I've already read it, all right? You read the Bible, and you tell me, you come back to me, and you tell me how wise God is in the creation story. You tell me how all-knowing, read it tonight, okay? How much does God know when he comes down into the Garden of Eden? How wise is God, all-knowing God, okay? Read it, be honest, write back to me, tell me how stupid he is. Tell me anything other than he sounds like a bumbling fool, and I'll know that you're being dishonest with me. Next point. What is this feeling I feel when, like, God is always with me and that everything always works out for the best? That feeling, my friend, is self-delusion. You can look up self-delusion. That's what you're doing to yourself. Okay, you go on to say, and that everything always works out for the best. That is the main reason I get up in the morning. Well, good. I'm glad you have some reason to get up in the morning. But why don't you replace it with reality? How about the thought that you control what it is that's going to go well for you today. And if something goes wrong, you learn from your mistakes and you work harder to make things go better the next time. That's probably a little bit of what you do right now, but you attribute it to a God instead of taking credit for your hard work. You deserve some credit and you should take it. Okay? You've gotten this far. No God helped you, okay? I can be sure, I am sure that Jesus Christ never has helped you because Jesus Christ never even walked the earth and the God of the Bible does not exist. And to clarify a point I made earlier, because you probably don't think outside the box, you said something earlier about why exactly do you believe there is no God, and I said that there could be a God. I wasn't referring to the Christian God. There is no chance that your God exists. Zero. There is, okay, I've had a quote that I say to people sometimes. I am more sure that your God doesn't exist than I am of my own existence, all right? I have a book jam-packed with wisdom and guidance, also known as extreme absurd contradictions, okay? And I know that square circles don't exist, married bachelors don't exist, and all loving gods who torture people for eternity don't exist. Okay? So you know, move on, all right? You deserve some credit. Take it. You say, I too used to question God, but I now know that after I've been saved, I don't do the things I used to do. Why don't you think for a second? What have you been saved from? Have you been saved from the wrath of a loving God? Ask yourself, if you ever have a child and you love your child, would you ever torture your child? Would you bring your child into existence if you knew that you were going to have to torture him after he was born? Is that loving? And since you probably wouldn't do those things, imagine a being that was infinitely more perfect than you. And his love would be infinitely more perfect than yours. And he would torture somebody for eternity? For what? What level do you think, do you judge, what level do you think it takes of sin for somebody to go to hell? Merely not believing in Jesus? Is that enough? Does that send somebody to hell? So how about the baby that was just born a few minutes ago that never was introduced to Jesus? How about people in Africa or any part of the world, really, that never get to hear about Jesus? Is that enough? Or is it living a life of sin? What is it for you? What is it for you that makes you, in your mind, think that an all-loving God is going to send people to hell for an eternity? The reason why you have bought this story is because you're scared, because you don't have enough knowledge. And it's okay, I understand, I was there once in my life, all right? But the fact is, the people who wrote this story, and the reason, part of the reason why it's been so successful in spreading, is because it's scary to think of an eternity of torture. But it doesn't make any sense. It's not possible. Hell doesn't exist. So, you know, think about these questions. Ask yourself, what are you saved from? What do you need to be saved from something? Are you saved from Satan? You know, if you're saved from Satan, didn't God know what Satan would do? Isn't he all powerful and all loving? Didn't he have the chance to stop it and the ability to stop it, but chose not to? Think to yourself. And don't stop questioning either. Don't stop questioning anything anybody says. Okay, so you go on. For you guys to try and tell me there is no God, who exactly do you think is blind here? Is this a rhetorical question? The answer is you. You say, I've seen firsthand what God in someone's life can do, and you're no different than any other unsaved person, just trying to find a way to explain your existence without God so you don't feel accountable for your actions. God, this is such a run-on sentence. I would have stopped like a minute ago. Jesus, this whole paragraph is one sentence. Dude, do you know how to use a period? I've seen firsthand what God in someone's life can do. Okay, prove it. Prove it. Send me the video. I'm no different than any other unsaved person. Yes, I am. We're all unique. Even you. You're different than all other saved people. Saved from the torture of God. Saved from the torture of an all-loving God. I am just trying to find a way to explain my existence without God so I don't feel accountable for my actions. Bullshit alert. Guess what, buddy? Now you're projecting again. You are the one that doesn't have to worry about what you do. You can murder, steal, rape, commit any crime that you want. And as long as you repent for your sins and have Jesus in your heart and love him, you're supposedly going to heaven. I, on the other hand, don't believe in that crap. I believe that what I do in this life is the only life that I have. And if I go and kill somebody and murder somebody and steal, I might go to jail for it. I'm accountable to the law. I'm accountable to myself, okay, because I don't want to feel guilty. I'm accountable to my family members because I want them to love me. All right, so think, all right? You're the one who's not accountable. Imagine watching a hockey game. And at the hockey game, one of the players punches another player in the face. Then they get into it, okay? The two players go into the penalty box. And one of them says to himself, I just screwed up. I'm going to sit here in the penalty box because this is my punishment. And the other one says to the referee, I'm sorry. I believe in you. Would you please forgive me? And the referee says, yeah. Go ahead back out there. That's what you believe, okay? Now, that guy didn't learn from his lesson. He's not accountable, all right? He just goes right back out into the floor. That's you. I'm the guy sitting in the box taking my punishment like a man. Next point. When in the end there is no other way and you have to admit what you thought was the truth was just a big lie. All right. Weak sentence. Moving on. God can change your life too. You just have to ask, and I promise you'll go places you never even imagined. You know, I was a Christian for 13 years. I used to talk to God all the time. He and his son, Jesus, were like my best friends. So, yeah, I did ask. And the only place I went was on an exploration of more knowledge as I started to grow up. You know, I abandoned God belief about the same time that I abandoned Santa Claus belief. It took a little bit longer, but you don't, by the way, you don't still believe in Santa Claus, do you? I hate to ruin it for you, but Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, they're all fake too. So you say, what have I got to lose? Well, I don't really have anything to lose other than merely a little bit of time. I mean, if I start talking to the sky again, you know, I'll kind of feel guilty that I'm wasting my time on something that doesn't exist. But maybe for your benefit, I will talk to myself or the ceiling or whatever you call it, imaginary friend, for a moment later today, and I will ask for what? I will ask for God to change my life. But I won't ask for Yahweh to change my life, of course, because Yahweh doesn't exist. Your God doesn't exist. But I will say, you know, generic God. In fact, I'll do it right now. Generic God, could you do me a favor and change my life for the better? It is already a very, very good life. But just tweak it a little bit better. Just a little bit. Whatever you can do. I'm already, in my opinion, I'm at the top of the world. I've accomplished more than anything I've ever wanted to accomplish in my life. But this guy who just sent me an email, who's 18, who doesn't know anything about abiogenesis or evolution or the Big Bang or basic science, says that if I talk to you, you'll make my life even better than it already is. So go ahead, do your little thing you do, and I'm here. Thanks. All right, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe I'll continue to get, you know, big television appearances, and people will keep coming to our website, and we'll keep steering people to reality, and maybe things will just keep getting better. And your last sentence here is, will your rational responder friends kick you out if I talk to God? Well, I hope not, because they just all heard me do that. I'm in a public chat room right now, and about 25 of them are listening to me. I'm not looking at what they say, so let's see here. Let's see if they... Nope. Nobody cares that, in fact, somebody said, you fucking rule. So, Ichabod said he lost all respect for me. So, I guess I just lost a rational responder friend. But he can't kick me out, though, because I'm kind of in charge. So, no, I'm not concerned about that. And then you said, shoot, you can come hang out with me, man. Well, that's cool, man. In fact, if you're ever in my area... Whenever you get up the Philadelphia area, I'll let you hang out with me. All right, how's that? And I'll give you a personal science lesson. Or if you want, you can even come on our radio show, and we can lecture for you, because it seems that you're asking the right questions, asking a lot of questions. And I apologize if you think I've been too hard on you at all in this email, but you know, there's something called willful ignorance. And I think that if you have to email me for the answers, you're exhibiting a little bit of it. Now, maybe you're looking to me and thinking that I'm the guy to ask the questions to. And maybe I'm illustrating in this response that I am. I'm not sure. But I'm kind of running websites here where I don't really have the time to address this stuff individually. Your email represents one person out of several hundred that I didn't answer. And the only reason I took the time to answer this is because most of what you did was ask questions as opposed to go on the offensive. Anyway, keep questioning. If you want to come on our show, we'll get you on our show. And that's it. Thanks for listening in. If you're anybody other than Daniel, check us out, rationalresponders.com. Peace.